Welcome to the next episode of Flintco Talks. If you haven't joined us before, my name is Daniel Oates. I'm a Flintco Austin employee and have worked here for 21 years. And we started this podcast in an effort to look at mental health, to make sure that it's on the forefront of Flintco's mind, taking care of our most important asset, which is our people, right? And if they've got a good mental health state, they're going to show up to work on time, they're going to perform, and they're going to keep us moving in the right direction. I'd like to welcome to this episode one of my good friends, Mr. Mark Walker. Mark is a former Navy SEAL, works for Acumen Performance Group, which Flintco has a great relationship with. So, Mark, without further ado, welcome to the show and tell us a little bit about yourself and your time with the SEALs and what you do at APG.
Hey, Dano, it's always good to see you. Love being here, working with you guys. We just hit our 10-year anniversary this year. For those that don't know me, I'm one of the founding partners at Acumen Performance Group. I retired in 2012 after 20 years of service, all those at Special Boat Team 12, and as an instructor and at Naval Special Warfare Command, where Bill and I met during our deployments to Iraq, and then he and I finished out our careers together recruiting the next generation of SEALs and SWCs, you know, special operators for the Navy. We saw what we had translates really well out here into the private sector and into the professional sports world. So that's kind of how we built our business. And now we're going on 12 years strong and really integrated with you guys, and happy to be taking part in this for the mental health side of things.
That's awesome, Mark. I'm really glad to see you too. Glad to have you here. I wanted to start with a quick question. Just how would you define mental health? Or when somebody says mental health, what are the things that come to your mind?
Well, for me personally, it's how I function in the team, how I function in my family, taking those steps to make sure that we're as harmonious as we can. I mean, it's always, I have little kids, so everything is always, you know, rushing here, rushing there when I'm home, and then making sure when I'm here that I'm focused, not at home, but focused on the client that I'm trying to help. So for me, it's what are the things that I need to put in place every day so that I make sure that I have that harmony in my life.
So what are some ways that you maintain that harmony? Like if you're going to say you always have generally have a positive state of mental health, what are the things that Mark Walker does to maintain that?
Great question, Dan. off the top of my head, I try to read. So like I said, I have little kids and I'm on my phone, I'm on my computer all the time. So part of that state that I want to be in is I read. And sometimes it's just something that I would never pick up, some fiction book. And sometimes, hey, I want to learn how to cook paella. And so I try to find those little things. And then for me, probably my favorite thing on the planet to do is to fly fish. And I just started taking my 8-year-old out to do that. And, you know, Tahoe is my happy place. And I go out the place I like to fish. My phone doesn't work there, but just, you know, working that line and working those flies. Half the time I don't even care if I catch a fish. It makes it better, but just what it does for me, it's like every cast, it just, all my worries just are going away.
Fly fishing is something that is special, right? It takes somebody that's patient. It takes somebody that enjoys the outdoors and is willing to put some work in, right? It's literally fishing a lot of the time. It's not as much catching as
for
it is
sure.
Fishing. So that's definitely a great way to keep your head clear, right? Especially being out there with your son and having a good time and teaching him the ways of doing that. When you start to see yourself get negative, is that the first thing you think of? Is like, man, I got to get home and just chill for a little bit and get out with my boy and do some fly fishing? Is that kind of where your mind goes?
You know, I do have like a heightened sense of awareness because we talk about this a lot with clients, so it's always at the forefront. So when I recognize it, then I'm able to make that mental note, take a deep breath, say, hey, I need to make sure I get some me time. I think more importantly is if I'm off, and let's say I don't recognize it, maybe I'm feeling overwhelmed, I have a lot of stuff, I have the people around me to say, hey man, why don't you take a break? Or hey, is there anything I can take off your plate? Is there anything I can do? And I think so that's part of that harmony, is surround yourself with those types of people that you know, you have to be self-aware, but you also have to be team-aware. Mm-hmm. And that's where we draw that back from, you know, the military side of things is, you know, we say it. You got the bracelet on right now, team, teammate, self, Dano. And, you know, it's the team and then teammate and then self. And as you start to build on that kind of culture, it just becomes a natural thing. And for me, it translates over to my family. If I know I got a trip coming up, first thing I do, I go to the grocery store. I make sure my wife has gas in her car. I take care of all those needs for her, for my kids. Then I make sure that I am not rushed when I go to pack. I make sure that I have my list of things that I need to cover when I'm there. So it's habitual for me now, but you know, I'm old, so but these are, if I would have known this a long time ago, where would I be? How, you know, what are the destructive things that I had done getting to this point?
What kind of standards does the Navy have installed to allow space for mental health? Or when you think of your time in the teams, what can you look back on and say, yeah, it's a good thing they did that, or I would have been more destructive?
You know, Bill and I came in about the same time, you know, the early 90s. And the culture in the military in general, but especially, you know, in special operations, was a work hard, play hard mentality. There wasn't war going on. So, you train really hard, and then, you go party really hard. And it's kind of, you know, a frat boy mentality. As we started taking things more serious, we had a lot more guys going into combat. That's Kevin's generation. What we would do is we started putting that focus on there because they spend a lot of money. You know, you're an investment in them, and you're an instrument. And so they spend a lot of money to, you know, train you up, send you over, and, you know, they recycle you. And you know what you're getting into. You understand that, you know, that's part of the machine. But I think where we did it better than most was we had a really, really good performance psych that was attached to us. He's now actually the performance psych for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh, wow.
And great guy. But he never made you feel weird about it. And it was just a conversation like you and I are having. Hey, man, how you doing? You know, is there anything on your mind? It wasn't, hey, I think you have this, or I think you're suffering from that. It was just, it starts with a conversation. They started doing decompression stops. So guys coming from a combat zone, they stop in Germany for a few weeks. And then the post-care for guys that were actually transitioning out. I thought we got that right as well, not just on the physical side of things, but on the mental side of things. There's a really good program called NICO, and the guys, a lot of guys go to it because they share. They have that, that, hey, man, this really, really helped me.
And I'm glad to hear that you felt like there was good transition points for you throughout the process, and understanding in the process as you're going through different combat zones or whatever, that you kind of had that psych person in your life that was saying, hey, how are things going, right? Because I feel like in the industry today, even still in the construction industry, and probably it was more prevalent 50, 70, 100 years ago, that it was, those conversations didn't happen, right? And they didn't happen for a couple of reasons, because we were men and men were supposed to be men, and we're just going to go build stuff, and we're not going to let emotion get in the way. We're not going to let anything get in the way besides us just completing our job. So I feel like we're called today to be a different construction group, right? A different community that sees what's going on and can ask those questions and realize when something is maybe out of place or awry, or somebody starts kind of a tailspin or a nosedive because they've lost their identity, or they're not part of the community at this point, or they're being somebody that somebody else wants them to be and not really trying to live into who they can be.
You know, I agree with what you're saying. It's the military and the construction world, you know, I think they have progressed on very parallel paths. They're arduous work. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody expects world-class performance at discount prices. Mm-hmm. And I think that you guys in particular, because I've been around you for the last 10 years, I think you've developed a culture that sets you apart from most people. because I think that you've invested in the people. And I've got to be, you know, the outsider looking in and participating and watching people grow. It's always awesome to see, even with you. I mean, you've been here 21 years, and you and I have known each other for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And to look in the conversations that you and I have had, and the investment that they make here, to make sure, that was one of the things that Peter brought up, was retention. And we're like, then, you know, you have to create a place where people want to be. Mm-hmm. And especially in this day and age where you have, you know, information at your fingertips, you know, in the form of a phone, where it's like, hey, you know, Dano was cross with me today at work. I'm going to go, you know, out there and see what jobs are going on in the Austin area that I can go. And we make those, you know, 10-second decisions sometimes. And I've watched you double in size in that time, which tells me that they're doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Something's right is going on. There's no doubt about that. What about inside APG? What do y'all do to allow space for to maintain positive and uplifting mental health?
You know, working out is a big one. Mm-hmm. Challenging ourselves. Like, you don't, when you find yourself getting in the routine, mm-hmm. It's like, hey, how can we stretch ourselves a little bit? We started getting more and more elaborate and the experiential stuff we do. You guys have been the recipients of that. But it's also recognizing, okay, we know how far we can go now, but what are we missing out on? And you know, for us, part of that mental health thing is our connection with people. And when you get caught up in the planning and the actual work of it, you're missing the whole point. And even this last go round, we had a great time. Everybody was happy. But when we debriefed, you know, as, you know, Mark and Kevin and Bill, we were like, hey, man, I feel like we got disconnected because we were out there trying to make sure all these moving parts were happening. And when we sat down with Peter and Dave and Kevin Moyes and Tim, that was some of the feedback they felt like we were disconnected as well. So I think, one, being able to talk about it and be vulnerable enough to get that feedback, which we always ask, you know, hey, my favorite question, what does better look like? Mm-hmm. And so it's that way ahead. But now we know, hey, we can do something like this, but now we need to make sure that we incorporate these points, because I think that's the most important thing in our relationship with Flenco is that human connection. And, you know, you and I, we've always, you know, maintained a relationship. I always enjoy talking to Peter. Whitney came out to do an event with us in Lake Tahoe, and I really enjoyed getting to know Whitney and seeing what a hard worker she is and the perspective that she brings. And I think you guys, you know, just have done an amazing job there, but, and asking people those types of questions, hey, how can we do this better? And being willing to hear the feedback without, you know, being offended, like, well, hang on, this was my baby.
Yeah, I love that question, like, what does better look like? When you look at Flenco, what does better look like to you when it comes to mental health? Do you feel like we're staying on top of it, or there's things we could do better? Or?
Well, that's a great question, Dan. I honestly, you can always do better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right there in your ethos. Our training is never done, right? If I were the guy giving advice for the day, I would really key in on that leadership at every level. And where it comes into mental health is you have a responsibility not just to build that building, but you also have a responsibility to build your people. And part of that is getting to know them. And that's not something that everybody is comfortable with. Especially you take a guy that's been here for, you know, 30, 35 years, and he is, you know, this gruff, salty, you know, hey, I did this, you know, with wooden carts and, you know, you know who I'm thinking of too,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to give Bubba a shout out, yeah. But you know, hey, block and tackle, right?
That's right. Hand drills.
Right. So you take a guy like that and now you bring, you know, Generation A in, or Generation Alpha, and these kids that grow up with technology, and, you know, hey, the, you know, the algorithm that I just punched into my computer says we should do it this way. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, I throw Bubba out there. I think that is one of the guys, though, that has really evolved and learned to connect with his people. And so whenever we're doing an event, he will always send me his guys, right? It's always, hey, these are my guys that are coming out. And they're really, really good guys. And that tells me that he's really taken the time to get to know them. And so that what does better look like is when somebody has an off day, that's the challenge, right? Is being able to approach them and say, hey, man, you okay? Or maybe you don't want to do it in a public setting. Hey, man, why don't you and I have lunch today? I'll take you to lunch. And investing that time in them, because sometimes just getting it out and building that, you know, relationship bridge with somebody, because he's an imposing force here. He's mm-hmm. been here a long time, mm-hmm. and he's probably forgotten more than most people know. And so you take a guy like that, and now you start pushing that knowledge into them, but also getting to know them and say, hey, man, you know, these are the things I do when I'm feeling that way. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're feeling overwhelmed, these are some tools for your toolbox. Not do it this way, but they're more open. Mm-hmm. And then you build that vulnerability, and now you know your people. And sometimes just knowing that, you know, somebody actually took the time to ask you, it's going to help you sleep at night. It's going to help you realize that, okay, hey, I'm not on an island, man. This guy, you know, he's been around here a long time, and he went through this too. So this is now natural.
Yeah, feeling like you're a part is a big thing, right? And that comes with imparting that wisdom or spending time helping people grow. You know, one thing that we did a couple years ago was implemented this flex time. Like every other week, you're allowed like an afternoon off, right? You got, if you got to mow the yard or you got to go get registered for voting or get your oil changed or whatever, you know, and that's something that Flintco and Tony D and his department said, hey, this is something that our people need, right? It's just a couple hours a week. Everybody's putting in at least 50, 60 hours a week, right? And what's given up for? And I think as a leader, it's being able to see that in your people and understanding and knowing them well enough, knowing that, hey, this is, they've put in some time this week, right? And I know they've got a family, and I know they've got little kids or a wife that works or something. It's and being able to say, hey, go ahead and, you didn't request flex time, but go ahead and take it, right? Go ahead and take your time, get out of here and enjoy an afternoon hanging out with the fam or whatever it might be.
I used to tell my guys that when I worked in training, and even when my last job with, you know, Bill and those guys, because we were on the road a lot there too. And I used to tell them, hey, I don't, whatever you got to do, don't do it here. Mm-hmm. Go home. Go mm-hmm. hang out. Make good choices.
Yeah, this will all be here tomorrow, right? It'll be here when you get back in the morning.
Yeah, they appreciate that. And they're going to work harder for you because they know that you're working hard for them.
No, that's exactly right. When you see somebody that's having that struggle or putting in the time, just realizing it, right? And having been a person on that receiving end, it's incredible for some to say, hey, look, they're actually going to acknowledge me and see what's going on, right? I was going through building a project in San Antonio, a long drive, right, 75 miles each way to and from work for about a year and a half. And I had a conversation one day with Scott and just said, hey, man, I've had enough. I'm burned out. Like, this driving's killing me. This is a super, super complicated job. We've had some turnover. And his response was, hey, man, yeah, we can find you a different place. Let us find a different place for you. And, you know, a week later he calls and says, hey, man, we got a spot in pre-con. Is that something you'd want to do? And I said, absolutely, right? I was at wit's end, had enough. Like I said, on a tough job and driving a long way every day, it's easy to get distracted and easy to find yourself maybe in a downward spiral, right? Kevin and I talked about it in one of our earlier sessions. You get to the point where you feel like you're a victim, right? And when it gets that far, it's almost too late, where it's, why didn't you raise your hand earlier? And that's something, you know, Scott asked me. It's like, hey, man, if you're struggling, put your hand in the air. So I was relieved when he said, hey, look, yeah, we'll find a place for you. And, you know, I've made a good home in pre-con here and have enjoyed my role doing that for sure.
I think you guys do a really good job of matching effort for effort. I know we've had this conversation, you know, when do you earn the right to do that? Mm-hmm. And I think that's based on an individual basis. I know in the military, they used to do that. Like, hey, we got this thing that just came up. We need somebody to go to the Philippines. And that guy raises his hand. Hey, we got this thing that came up. We need somebody to go down to South America. hey, we got this thing. And they always go to the draw the same, you know, from the same guy. I think you do, from a leadership standpoint, you're doing your people a disservice, because I think you're robbing potential leaders of opportunities. And I think that you're burning out your high performers. And when somebody sees, you know, that turnover, I know construction has a high turnover rate. They see, okay, well, wow, Dano really seemed to like it. You know, he was drinking the Kool-Aid here, and now all of a sudden he's gone. And so I think, again, it's that recognition as leaders being able to say, hey, you know what? Let's present this as a leadership opportunity for that next guy. Mm-hmm. Instead of always going back to the well, because you know what you get with that person up to a point where, like you said, you got burned out. You know, mm-hmm. you're missing the things that are going on at home. You're missing, you know, how much time are you missing going back and forth in the car? Mm-hmm. You know, that 3 hours a day, what are you missing out on? So good for the recognition on your part, and good for Scott for saying, hey, you know what? You're right. You know, let's find a new home for you.
Yeah, and that goes right back to the leadership at every level, right? And even office engineers, project engineers, assistant superintendents, even interns, right? They're, everybody is asked to be able to step up to the plate when called upon. And so at any point, anybody can do the check-in, right? Do the check-in with the intern, right? Good leaders will check in with their direct reports and just see how things are going. Like you're saying, in the teams, you had the psych person that was, hey, how's it going? And not stop there. Is there anything on your mind? What are you experiencing? And I feel like in order to keep a heightened awareness around mental health, those are the questions that have to be asked. And, you know, maybe they haven't for a long time, and for whatever reason they haven't been, but it's something that we're working on implementing, right? We've rolled out this mental health first aid packet here in Flint Co. in the last couple months that's really designed to be able to train people to recognize when somebody's starting their nosedive or starting their tailspin, learn how to approach them, and even learn how to get them into the right hands, right? Get some resources or get a mentor or get somebody to kind of talk to and understand what the challenges are, so that we can help them be able to rise above and get back on the path where they can gain their identity, feel like they're part of the community again, and really be able to become a top performer again.
For sure. And I think there has to be a genuineness to that. You know, you can have, you know, all the resources and all the training, but I think there has to be a genuineness to it. And I think, again, I always bring it back to culture. I bring it back to your ethos. And I see that here. Mm-hmm. I see that genuineness. And I think, you know, even for me, like, I had this epiphany. I felt like we were going 100 miles an hour all year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we started January 6th. We had our first event of the year.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm in May, and I'm like looking at our calendar, and I'm like, okay, I got to slow down. And I'm like, this isn't the military anymore. I don't have to go this hard anymore. So I talked to Kevin and Bill, and I said, hey, do you guys feel like we've just been going 100 miles an hour? And they're like, yeah. And I said, I'm not going to schedule anything for July. And we did have one thing on the calendar, but I was relieved. I talked to the chief of staff at one of the teams that we work with, and I said, hey, he was like, well, we're thinking about pushing. I'm like, please do. And yeah. He's like, what? And I said, dude, we've been just going 100 miles an hour. We just kind of need to do a hard reset. And so we literally took a month off. I'm not saying I didn't work, because there's still a business side to the business that you have to run. But as far as trips go and everything else, and I'll tell you, we were better for it. Mm-hmm. But you get in that mode, and, you know, you hear all the accolades like, oh, you know, you're my top guy, and, you know, you're my lead sled dog, and all of that. And, you know, for me, you know, being a small business, and, you know, you're looking at the business development department, you know, and operations and, you know, payroll and accounting. And so all those things. And, you know, I'm like, man, I'm feeling it. And I'll tell you, just being able to go fish and do some work around the house and spend time with my kids and go for walks and, you know, just enjoying family time. Mm-hmm. And then also being able to tell my wife, hey, why don't you go ride your bike around the lake? I know that's your thing. Just go do it. I got the kids, and, you know, and she's happier for it. So again, you know, back to harmony. And, you know, it's never going to be balanced, because if you think about it, if you're taking away and applying something to another scale or the other side of the scale, you're also affecting somebody else's scale. So every time I travel, you know, that gets heaped on the family. Every time you're in the car for an extra, you know, 2 hours a week or 2 hours a day, that affects, you know, your home life. And it's realizing that, hey, you know, I can have Dano here as a 40-year employee if I scale back a little bit. And it's investing in your people. And you guys have done a great job of that.
Yeah, you brought up a great point, because so often we think about mental health as it pertains to work and being happy with what you're doing at work so you can be a high performer. But a lot of that stems from maybe what happens at the house, maybe what's going on in your personal life. And sometimes that's a little bit harder to talk about, right? So it's easier to talk about, hey, what's going on at work, or hey, what don't you like about your assignment right now? And maybe it's a tough trade partner, or maybe it's a tough schedule. But sometimes if what's at home is out of balance or out of harmony, like you said, it makes work out of balance as well. Like, how do you go about having that conversation with somebody that could be having something going on at the house?
So it's, I guess, very, very appropriate that we're talking about. So, you know, you've been on my journey, right? Mm-hmm. I'm later in life dad. First one had at 44, second one at, I had a newborn at 51 years old or 50 years old. And, you know, he's going through sleep regression right now. But having that resource of Bill, who, you know, Bill's, he's, you know, got his own starting five. But he just went through this with his youngest, who just turned four. And I'm like, hey man, you know, what are some things I should be doing? Because my 8-year-old, I didn't have problems. 4 months old, he's sleeping through the night, no big deal, right? This one, he is, he's challenging. And being able to resource to Bill, because I mean, he's getting up three times a night. And, you know, I'm telling my wife, hey, try this, try that. You know, hey, Bill went through this. So one, I'm telling her, hey, we're not alone in this. This is a very natural thing. And you know, trying to help her process it from afar, because now I'm here, right? And, you know, sleep is obviously one of those really important things for mental health. And, you know, you start having kids in your 50s, forget about that. But being able to now bring in that full circle, having somebody to relate, like, so maybe you're not the guy, because, you know, your daughter's about to be 17, right? Mm-hmm. And how old's your son now?
14.
14.
Yeah.
But if, you know, somebody just had a new baby, find somebody on your team that just went through that. You know, maybe it was 2 years ago, and say, hey, man, tell them what you could have done better, you know, or what you figured out that works for you. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but I think it gives people a little bit of relief there. So maybe you're not always the guy that needs to be having the conversation, but recognizing who the guy might be is also an important part of leading, is being able to kind of step out of the way and let somebody else take the lead on something that is maybe more familiar with it or has dealt with that.
Yeah, it's definitely an active approach, right? Many times we get caught just sitting back, naturally being passive, because there's already a million things to do on the job site. But I think to be a good leader, you've got to take an active approach in that, and to be able to take time to sit down with your team members. When a new team's created, you know, every job, it's pretty much a different team, right? We've got 60, 70 salary people here in Austin. It's like you don't get to work with the same person every job. Every now and then you get to, but not. But I think it's an active approach of, hey, let's go have lunch. You know, the job's starting, I hadn't worked with you in a couple years or never worked with you before. You know, let's talk a little bit about who you are, you know, what your goals are in life. How do you feel like you fit in at Flintco? How's your home life? That kind of stuff. And it's to reciprocate from the direct reports position, being a leader is by being vulnerable back, saying, hey, look, this is what's going on, right? Hey, look, I've got a girlfriend we've had for several years. We've got a dog. We've got this. We've got that. I'm involved in this part of our community, and I really want to maintain that, because as soon as something that's on the norm in your personal life gets out of whack, that's it starts showing up at work, right? Or vice versa. If something at work's not right, maybe something at the house begins to go awry. So I feel like we as the leader on the job site need to take that time to get to know your people, right? And understand who they are so you don't end up with a bunch of people that are sliding off the reservation because they feel like they're not a part, they feel like they're not appreciated, they feel like they don't belong, or their identity is who you want them to be and not who they aspire to be.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, there has to be a genuineness to that, hey, you're part of this team. I always go back to the genuine because, you know, you don't want to feel like you're being diagnosed by somebody and then, you know, if performance drops off. And that's why it's harmony. It's not balance. Because it shouldn't be a balancing act, but you should be able to have harmony. And some days you're going to put in those 40, 50 hours, and sometimes you're going to get your flex time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm going to be busy and on the road quite a bit. And, you know, I've tried not to schedule back-to-back trips anymore. I try to spread them all out. And just being able to recognize those indicators. And mm-hmm. and then when they are off, and I'll share my brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, a semi-pro baseball player. He became a teacher. And one day he just checked out. And my sister walks in the house with, you know, my four-year-old nephew. And they were the first people to find him. And I think the thing that bothered me the most was so many people, you know, when we were talking about it after the fact, we're like, oh, yeah, you know, I noticed, you know, he wasn't, you know, happy. And, you know, I noticed he had these, you know, bouts of moodiness. And it's like, and nobody said anything. And, you know, now she's a widow and, you know, with a four-year-old and just putting back the pieces on that. And so it goes back to sometimes if you just say, hey, you okay, man? You just don't seem yourself. And somebody just knowing that you actually care enough to ask is enough. You know, the resources are there, yeah, but they already know that because you've already given them to them. But how do you use the resources? And again, it's that human factor of, okay, this guy actually noticed that you know, I'm having a tough time right now. And, you know, maybe it's, you know, I had to move or I had a breakup. And I just had a high school kid that reached out. He's getting ready to go off to college this week. And he texted me on the plane. I was in Charlotte and I was on my way back and I get this text from him and he's like, you know, hey, Mark, I don't know if you remember me. And I knew exactly who he mm-hmm. was. And mm-hmm. and he goes, hey, you know, I really enjoyed, you know, what you guys taught us and everything. And I'm reaching out because, you know, I was with my girlfriend for 9 months and we decided to break up because we're going to different colleges. And I kind of don't know how to process this. And, you know, one, just acknowledging his feelings and saying, hey, man, I know that's hard. You know, I've been there. But, you know, as an older guy, you're going to have those types of things in your life, man. Mm-hmm. But be excited. Be excited because, you know, you're going off to college and you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to feel a little bit better. And the next day you're going to feel a little bit better. But then the biggest thing for me on that was, you know, I told myself, hey, I got to follow up with this kid. And so I did. And he's like, hey, I'm really excited. I followed up with him last week. I'm really excited. I'm starting school. I really feel better after what you told me. And I was like, all right, cool, man. You know, he's quoting scripture to me. You know, I was happy because he found his tool, right? And we have that responsibility. The moment that, you know, they hired us to go work with him, you know, I have that now, that responsibility as just a human being to him and say, hey, man. And so I'll follow up with him again on Friday. That's our check-in date. See how his first week of college went. And it's just really important to do that so that people just know somebody out there really cares about how they're feeling. And I think most of the time that's what allows people to lay their head on their pillow and sleep at night is that they're not alone.
Yeah, and Bill mentioned that when we talked in the previous episode. He talked about, hey, you're not out there by yourself, right? If you're out there and you feel like you are, there's somebody that's been where you are. Or if you see somebody that looks like they're out of place, you're probably not the only person that's noticed that, right? And to take that time to just check in and say, hey, how's it going, man? You know, how do you feel? What's going on? And how's work? How's home life? And taking that vested interest, it does make you feel better, right? It makes you feel like you do belong and that you are part of something bigger than just what's going on in your life. And that's something that I've constantly have to remind myself, right? That work is just one facet of who I am, right? And when you're on a tough job or you're in a tough spot, you kind of have to be able to go back and say, you know, hey, why did I get into this business? Hey, what is it about this business that I like, and how can I get back to that, right? Because if something's going wrong, it's really easy to just get laser focused on that, right? And sometimes you have to remind yourself, like, hey, I got into this because I like to serve other people. And even though this is a hard job, somebody's going to enjoy the fruits of my labor one day, and they're going to enjoy walking in this building and sitting at this desk and doing whatever job they're doing in a new space that's more life-giving than the previous space.
Oh, for sure. And, I mean, you have to have passion for what you do. And, you know, being here, I've met people that are very passionate about it. And finding, you know, that not just are you building these buildings and you're doing it safely, because I know that's a huge emphasis. And, you know, I'm happy that you are putting the emphasis on this part of it, because I think that's the next level. I mean, we're a performance company. You guys are a construction company. And to see how that impacts the performance side of it, you're literally sharpening that blade and you're honing that edge with all of your people. And you're also giving them the tools, because you look at this day and age, you know, I don't work with a lot of high school teams, right? But the ones that I do, you see where parents now, they always want to take away that adversity. And I think what they're not giving their kids is a chance to build some resiliency. Mm. You know, it used to be helicopter parents, and now it's lawnmower parents, man. It's like they just want to smooth the road for them. Uh-huh. And, you know, even with my own kids, and, you know, my the baby was learning how to walk, and you know, he bumped his head, and my wife's like, oh, my God, we got to put up the gates. And I'm like, he's not going to learn how to duck.
Yes.
You know, and not that I'm going to go let him bang his head, you know, 80 times. But that first one, it's like, you know, you rub his head and you show him, hey, you can't stand up here anymore. He doesn't do it. And she's right. Like, wow, okay, you know, evolutionary lesson. But it's those types of things, right? And even with, you know, as you start to continue to grow as a company and you get these younger people in there, that's one of the things that, you know, as leaders, that's your next challenge, is that this is the generation where it's, you know, they didn't have to go pull the Encyclopedia Britannica off the off the shelf and look it up, or, you know, ask them what the Dewey Decimal System is. And it's, but what they do have is they have advanced learning at a faster rate. They bring a lot to the table, but you have to find, you know, those uncomfortable areas as a leader. You have to grow in those areas and being able to talk about those things and say, hey, man, I'm invested in you. So, you know, if I come up to you and I ask you how you're doing, it's not because you're doing something wrong. It's I want to see you thriving here. Mm-hmm. Because if you're thriving here, then the company is benefiting from that, you know, from that investment in you. And I think that's where sometimes we get caught up in, you know, we get so focused on the end result that we're not, you know, I'll go back to fly fishing. I always like to look around. I see those mountains and I see those big trees and I hear that water running. It's so much more than that. And for you guys, it's the same thing. It's not just the building that you're putting up. It's the skyline. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we built that one and we built that one. You know, this is our footprint. And you can be part of that.
I think one of the things you just said that really struck a chord with me was about the uncomfortable situations, right? And one of the first things I learned attending y'all's event 9 or 10 years ago was learning to be comfortable in the uncomfortable situation, right? And I think that's part of the reason why these conversations are hard to have, because as the person asking the question, if you know something's going on, you're always worried about what's going to come back. What's the response going to be? Like, hey, what's going on? You know, and you hope they say, hey, we're all good. And you're like, oh, cool, we checked in, right? And because it's uncomfortable, we have maybe the ability to stray away from it, maybe the ability to just ask a real easy question so we get an easy answer or the answer that we want to hear, and then we move on with it. But I feel like the more you have these conversations, the more check-ins you have, the more time you spend building your community, the easier it gets, right? The easier it is to approach somebody and be like, hey, dude, you know, I know something's going on, man. You just hadn't been yourself, or the way you answer your phone is different, or, you know, you don't have the same attitude, and it becomes easier, right? The more times you do it, it becomes, you're more in tune with it. You understand that, hey, if you get a challenging response, that, hey, there is a way to navigate that, or be able to get this person in a position that you can talk to them and help them and lift them up so that they can get back on the straight and narrow.
For sure. And I think sometimes, though, we build it up in our head on how the conversation is going to go. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're putting those pieces together based on our own experiences or even a lack of confidence. And after you have the conversation, it's not nearly as difficult as you made it out to be in your head.
Never is.
No. And so I think that's got to be, you know, and I hope if anybody listening to this takes anything away from our conversation, it's that. It's like, you know, just step one, just say, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Or, and then go from there. It doesn't have to be, you know, I'm going to put on my therapy hat and I'm going to ask you to lay on this couch here and tell me how you feel. No, just start there. Utilize that intuition that you have if somebody is a little bit off. And I think, you know, I don't tell the story all the time. I'm going to tell it because it's about intuition. It's not as much about mental health as it is relying on intuition, and it can be applied in this setting. And we were working with the Atlanta Falcons. It was 2017, I believe. The new Mercedes-Benz Stadium opened up, and it was Sunday Night Football. It was Falcons-Packers, full house. And, you know, when we're there working with the team, we're on the sideline and with the players during the game. And there's a couple components to this that I really want to stress. The first was I felt the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Mm-hmm. And so now I start scanning, and like, I have been retired 5 years, right? So the spidey sense feeling, I hadn't had it in a while. So it was kind of weird. So I'm looking around and I key in on this one guy, and it's opening night of the new stadium. So everybody has the same lanyard on, but I can't see his credentials. And I've been around the league enough to know, you know, everybody's got different credentials. But number one, Bill looks at my face and he immediately comes over, because he and I don't stand together. You know, we try to spread ourselves out amongst the players and coaches. He comes over and goes, "What's going on?" And I said, "Something's not right with that guy over there." And he didn't question me or anything. And so this guy walks through the bench area. Bill's shadowing him on one side. I'm shadowing him on the other. And now he's standing behind, I don't know if you know who Michelle Tafoya is. He's standing like 6 feet behind her, but Bill's like right behind him. And I go get the security guy. And he was just some drunk season ticket holder that had waited for the camera that runs down the sideline. And he had stepped over the little fence there that separates the season ticket holders from the bench area. And, you know, they end up arresting him and detaining him and everything else. But I think, one, trusting your intuition, you know, and then trusting the people around you, because Bill didn't even hesitate, you know. And, yeah, he and I have known each other, you know, 20-plus years now. But him coming over to me and immediately trusting my instincts. And I think for people, especially leaders and young leaders out there, trust your instincts. If something feels off, just go and clear the air, you know, because I think, again, that comes back to just knowing, hey, this is something that, you know, maybe they're just having a rough time. Maybe they just found out they got to move, or maybe they, you know, have a rat infestation in their building and now they got to fumigate and they don't know where they're going to sleep for the next, you know, 4 weeks or whatever. But I think it's really, really important to trust those things, that those feelings, because they're there for a reason. It's part of that evolutionary brain.
It's great you have a partner like Bill that trusts you, right? And that's the same thing we're building here, right? build that trust with somebody, right? Bill has worked with you in several different arenas and know who you are, and that's it, that comes with time, but it also comes with that little bit of vulnerability. It also comes with that little bit of trust back and forth between each other to understand when, hey, something's out of place. He knows, right? He knows immediately. He just saw the look on your face, right? We got to be able to do the same thing with our people.
Absolutely,
right?
Which is why I tell you that story. It's so important to know your people, not just how they perform on the job, but all those other little nuances that go along with being a top performer. You know, and you can't put all the responsibility on the leaders. Obviously, you know, the individuals have to be willing to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And then you also have to, you know, put the time in, like we talked about, you know, when we opened this conversation, is finding that harmony. What are those things that you like to do? Is it, you know, is it church? Is it sports? Is it gym? Is it fishing? Whatever those things are that help you reset, that's the important thing. So I think, you know, again, that's got to be harmonious as well, from the leadership standpoint, and them encouraging people to do those things outside. You know, what makes a successful, you know, person at Flinco or even in construction in the industry? And that is, you know, overcoming those things that we're talking about, the stresses of the job, the, hey, the project's over, honey. You know, we're going to go do this project that's, you know, 400 miles away from here now. And, you know, we got to uproot the kids and schools and everything else. All those things are stressful. But, you know, again, football comparison, you know, Kyle Shanahan, right? 2016, he's the offensive coordinator at Atlanta Falcons. And he was not happy that we were out there for a week. He was like, oh, man, we could be doing this, you know, so much more we could be doing that's football related. And we were talking, and he brings up, you know, stress. We're talking about stress and performance, right? And he's like, you know, if you don't do your job, you know, you're going to get fired and you're going to have to go home and tell your wife and your kids that you're moving and everything else. And I looked at him, I said, Kyle, what happens if you're successful? And he looked at me and I said, you're going to have to go home and tell your wife, hey, I just got hired to be a head coach on the opposite coast. Well, funny thing was, Kyle got hired as the 49ers head coach, and I shot him a text. And right after it was announced that he was now the new head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, I'm like, how'd your wife take the news? You know, and I got the, you know, the flip and the bird emoji and everything else. And, you know, we've been working with him ever since, mm-hmm. After his first year there. But those are those, it's perspective too. And I think that's where leadership comes into play, and being able to offer those perspective that, hey, this is a good opportunity, and kind of take some of the sting out of what overwhelms people sometimes. You know, I always say, and I think it was with Tim, we were talking about, I get to do those things instead of I have to do those things, because there's other people out there that are hurting too. And just changing that little bit of perspective with yourself. But, you know, I don't have to get up in the middle of the night, you know, with the baby. I get to get up. You know, mm-hmm. I've always wanted to be a dad. I love being a dad. It's the coolest job I ever had. And, you know, I get to get up with him, because pretty soon he's going to be, you know, 17, mm-hmm. and getting ready to head off to college, right? And I know that's where you're at right now. We've talked about it off the side. So I think it's, you know, perspective is something that helps, you know, alleviate that stress. It's being able to look back on other things in your life that, you know, you felt the same way, and being able to say, well, I got through that. How did I get through that? What could I have done better to get through that? Mm-hmm. And utilizing those tools, and then knowledge sharing, you know, hey, I went through that, man. I know how you feel. You especially, just the story that you told about going back and forth to San Antonio. Say, hey, man, I know what that feels like. You know, mm-hmm. these are the things I did, and this was my approach to say, hey, you know, I'm smoked. You know, my home life, suffering, all those things.
Yeah, one of the things that I've heard you say before, Mark, is that stress only comes in one flavor.
That's the
right?
truth, brother.
It only comes in one flavor, right? And it affects other people different ways, you know, whether it's work-related, whether it's family-related, but all of us have those stressors and have that stress, and it's finding a way to be able to cope with it, to be able to deal with it. And as leaders, we've got to encourage our folks to take the time and deal with it. It's like, hey, when something's off, let's take the time it's okay, right? Where everybody's going to be here tomorrow, you don't have to be here, and let's figure out a way to get you in the get you in a place where you get the clear head space and you're ready to come back and be a performer.
And the stigma of sharing too, you know, it's you know, whether it's construction or the military, it's like, oh, we're hard and we got to be tough. And well, part of being tough is being able to say, hey, man, I've kind of reached my limit. That's because why? That's a tough thing to say out loud. So again, perspective, it's not weakness. It's literally you've reached your limit and I need a hard reset. It's not a forever thing, but it's a right now thing. And people being able to say that. And I do believe you guys have really evolved on that. I mean, just you sharing that story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more and more people need to realize that it's okay to get to that point.
Yeah, you get to the point where you've played the conversation in your head 10 times about you're going to go in and say, hey, I'm stressed or this is too much or I really can't take it anymore. And you think that your supervisor's going to be tough on you and be hard on you. And sometimes that happens. But on the other hand, we have to be willing to say, hey, I get it, right? Understand. As a supervisor, if I have a direct report that's struggling, I want to know, right? And if you were the supervisor, sometimes you have to put yourself in your supervisor's place and say, if one of my folks is struggling, I definitely want to know, right? Because I want you to enjoy working here. I want you to be a part of what we're doing here on a daily basis, right?
Well, I think people, if you break down, because we talk to a lot of people and mm-hmm. we talk about what stress is, and most people really can't give you the definition. And of course, you know, Bill, Bumper Sticker Bill, as I refer to him, he came up with the best thing. It was like the simplest way to say it is when demands exceed resources.
Yeah.
And as leaders, you know, we got to be willing to say we need to give them more resources, and you know, you talked about flex time. That is a great resource for people to reset.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to, you know, every year we talk about, you know, fitness, and I'm not talking about going out and, you know, running a marathon. I'm talking about just going for a walk, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my thing. I have a rule at my house. When I walk through the door after coming off a trip, just give me 15 minutes. I'm lucky if I get 5, but before the tidal wave of everything, you know, because you got an 8-year-old that's excited, you got a 15-month-old that's excited, you got a wife that's excited, and, you know, you got a 110-pound German Shepherd that hasn't seen you in a week, and it's
even
like,
more excited than all
right,
of them, right?
Exactly, and they're all competing, and so, like, for me, I sit in the driveway just for 5 minutes and just enjoy the quiet, and now I get back in dad mode because, you know, my wife will say, hey, you're in chief mode. And, you know, I'm not chief walker when I'm at home. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like, okay, I got to take on, you know, the dad husband, you know, persona that, you know, I have to be, that's required of me to do this. And so those little things that you can do for yourself, it's just that's part of that harmony and just weaving that whole blanket, you know, that mm-hmm. that provides that for you. And some days you're going to get it right, some days you're going to get it wrong, and it's okay. But that's where you have the people around you that can just really, you know, uplift you. And I think that's mm-hmm. the biggest thing is, you know, instead of, hey, Daniel, we need to talk about your, you know, your lack of performance this week.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's knowing your people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're not yourself this week, Dan. What's going on? Everything okay?
Yeah, and I think for those that are listening, right, Flintco employees, I'd tell you, get your hand in the air, right? The people that run this company care about each one of us, and they realize that our people are our greatest asset. And if you've got an issue, just get your hand in the air, let them know what's going on, and we'll do our best to take care of you for sure.
I appreciate that that you guys always involve us. And I mean, we always say we learn as much from you as you guys say that you learn from us. But I think the proof is in the pudding. When we see, you know, the quality of people that you're hiring and bringing out to our events, and the relationships that we've maintained with people that have attended. And I mean, have, you know, lasting friendships, like Tulsa for me. You know, we have a lot of clients in Tulsa, mm-hmm. obviously you guys, but I finally took my wife out to Tulsa this last year before the event kicked off, because I said, you got to meet my Tulsa family, mm-hmm. you know, and we went to dinner with Dave Coleman and obviously, you know, got to see everybody, and I took her out to Post Oak so she could see what I had done, because I've been going out there for 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, so, but I mean, you're on the right track. It's just, you know, what does better look like? And just, you know, keep stretching yourself, get comfortable being uncomfortable, and just keep growing. Everybody's on the right path here.
That's it. Mark, man, I really appreciate you being here today. Appreciate the time, the friendship, and man, we look forward to getting you back on here one day.
I look forward to it as well, Dano.
Thanks, brother.
It's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to ask for help. If you are struggling with suicidal thoughts, or you think someone you know is, please don't wait. Call or text 988 or chat 988lifeline.org. To learn how to get support for mental health, drug, and alcohol issues, visit findsupport.gov. To locate treatment facilities or providers, visit findtreatment.gov or call their national helpline at 800-662-HELP. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.